Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
So right before we went live, I played a rib on my wife. I hid all the toilet paper, the napkins, and the paper towels. She doesn't know yet. So if you hear the door barging open while we're live, you know why. So, it's funnier than you think because she's only 5'4", and I put them like all the way at the top of a closet. And we don't have one of those grabby things that you could like, you know, I can't reach. Oh, man. Good afternoon, good evening, and good day, everybody. This is the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony, as always. What is it, 29th of July? Yes. 29th? Yes, 29th. I had to do a double take. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. I am here. We are going to talk a little bit about SmackDown. We are going to update you about Rey Mysterio's injury, and yes, it is legit. I got some details behind Vince McMahon's spinal surgery that went down last week, a couple of things that have not been made public online. We're going to talk about that mess. I have to word it the right way because I'm not going against, as far as the women themselves, there's a bigger problem here, obviously, but the mess that has happened since Wednesday between Taya Valkyrie, Britt Baker, and a good portion of the internet wrestling community, it's starting to wreak its ugly head. Something that we talked about a long time ago with regards to AEW. And, yeah, we're fans, and we just want to concern ourselves with what we see on TV. But, you know, it's a much deeper problem. And, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, we'll give you some SummerSlam updates and a little tweak that happened with Roman Reigns. I don't know if anybody caught it. It was interesting to hear it come out in the mouth of Michael Cole and Wade Barrett last night. So I will give you a couple of hints of what that tweak was with Roman Reigns. And we got a couple other tidbits. Dana Brooke equals ratings. Did you ever think Dana Brooke would be the highest rated segment on a WWE show? It actually happened. I'll give you a little teaser leading into Monday. Yes. Put it this way. We came, well, not we. I am for everybody. WWE came this close. For those that like to compare WWE and AEW ratings, of having Dana Brooke draw a bigger rating than Jon Moxley and the Blackpool Combat Club and the Elite. So we'll get into that a little bit later. And LA Knight. LA Knight finally gets his SummerSlam match. The king of food and drink. I had a few people in the last hour, because I put a little preview online of what we were going to talk about. I got a couple of DMs. What do you mean by the king of food and drink? I guess let's talk about LA Knight like right away. Yesterday on SmackDown, first off, LA Knight had a match. Obviously, massively over. A little bit of recreation with the Hit Row, because if you've paid attention to some of the dark matches WWE does for SmackDown, we've had LA Knight and Hit Row mingle with each other before. And LA Knight comes out there yesterday to confront Ashante Adonis and Hit Row. First of all, he calls Top Dollar Uncle Phil, saying he didn't know Uncle Phil knew how to rap. And then, you know, there's something called cheap heat, which I know you all know. But what happens for a lot of people who may not be as over as WWE wants them to be, or wants them to get the crowd a little bit extra angry, This is what they do. They've been doing it for decades. Trust me, when we used to go to a lot more live WWE shows, when their Raws were more, focused on the Northeast, what you would do is you go to a commercial break, and then somebody would come out on the stage, and then they would start putting down the local town, the local sports team, if there's a major news thing going on. So yesterday, during a commercial break, Top Dollar comes out there, and they're trashing New Orleans. And, Top Dollar going pretty hard and heavy on New Orleans. Trust me, there's a couple of things you could think of back in the day that you could piss off New Orleans still 1,000 times over. Let's just say one of the topics rhymes with Wiener. Wiener? Yeah, I think so. So anyway, during the commercial, they're ragging on New Orleans. So we come back from commercial, and here comes L.A. Knight. L.A. Knight is looking at Hit Row and makes the Uncle Phil reference to Top Dollar. But then he says, during the commercial break, you said that New Orleans was corny. Corny. And then he insinuates that B-Fab is horny. Horny. And, leads to a match. He beats Ashante Adonis in 90 seconds, 2 minutes. I mean, look. You feel the tide changing for L.A. Knight. As I said 5 weeks ago, better nights ahead, and that was spelled with a K. It's just not, they're not going to flick a switch. They're not going to do a Santino Marella. Remember when Santino debuted for the WWE in Italy and he won a fucking title the same night? I'm Italian. Santino's my middle name. That is legit. And I watched that, and I'm like, I don't like this at all. And then he got the title. I'm like, the fuck was that? So you don't want to snap the fingers and, suddenly they give LA Knight an impromptu belt. Let's be honest. WWE has not given him a lot of good TV time inside the ring. He's performed fine. But the result has been the L way too many times. You want to develop a winning streak. You want to start seeing it build. Yesterday, maybe the match a little bit too quick, but still, very, very good for LA Knight. So after the match is over, he is in the back and he confronts Adam Pearce. And TLD says, I don't get the joke about something that rhymes with Wiener. All right, Katrina. See, I'm New York, so I don't say, I say it like it sounds like an R, like Katrina, Wiener, Katrina. It's a New York slang, so, all right, just want to clarify. And look, I don't like Katrina either. We raised a lot of money for animal rescue back in the day. Remember that shit with Katrina? For those out there that just want a real, interesting tidbit, I underestimated the bullshit that happens on the internet. When Hurricane Katrina hit, Kevin and I, on the Don Tony Kevin Castle show, we announced that anybody that's tuning into the show, if you make a donation for animal rescue, I think it was not HSUS, it might have been HSUS, animal rescue, that will match it. Now, I didn't clear this with Kev beforehand, and, it's not like we have a lot of, money laying around, and Kev's like, I don't have that kind of money. And I'm like, me neither. So I'm like, how much do you think people are going to donate? And I said, I'll just take it out of my office expense. I said, on behalf of both of us. He's like, all right, cool. So, we got a couple hundred dollars donated. So I said I was going to match it. Some woman, let's say it like that, that's not a wrestling fan, must have did a Google search about Katrina. And it shows the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. If you donate, we will match it. She goes and she puts it on some animal rights message board. The next thing I know, $1,000 donation, $800 donation, $600 donation. And next thing you know, it was like $14,000. And I'm like, I don't have this kind of money. So I had to post. I went on the message board, and I'm like, listen, this is just for our wrestling fans, family. And then you had, listen, I understand people want to maximize donations and they care about animals, but I caught so many fucking wenches that night lying to my face online. Because I said, you know, this is more for our wrestling fans, our family here. And they're like, I'm a wrestling fan. They didn't even know what the fucking wrestlers were. I put a fake name and I said, who's so-and-so? And they said, oh, he's a current champion. I said, yeah, in your fucking dreams. So we ended up donating, I think, like $3,000 or $4,000. But yeah, they posted it on message boards. People were like, yeah, I was going to donate anyway, but if these guys are going to match it, yeah, it's $1,000. Got my shit into trouble. I got my ass in trouble. So anyway, Adam Pearce is in the back, and he announces that at SummerSlam, we are getting the SummerSlam Battle Royal sponsored by Slim Jim. Oh, I'm going to eat some Slim Jim and drink some Diet Mountain Dew on SummerSlam. You know, LA Knight featured once again in something that involves food and drink. Remember we had that match with Bray Wyatt? Wasn't that the Mountain Dew, whatever the crap was? Ooh, yeah! Now LA Knight will be in this Battle Royal. And I hope, LA, they add a stipulation that whoever wins the Battle Royal gets a title shot. Gets a title shot. You know, obviously they can't announce that it would be Austin Theory's title because you're going to have wrestlers on Raw, wrestlers on SmackDown, and you can't do title shot of your choosing because then you incorporate Roman Reigns, then you incorporate Seth Rollins, and we don't want to go there. So hopefully this has an added stipulation that if somebody from Raw wins, they get a shot at Gunther's Intercontinental Championship. If somebody from SmackDown wins, they get a shot at Austin Theory's United States Championship. And hey, if somebody wants to go for Dominic Mysterio's NXT North American Championship, you could do that too. But I don't think we're going to have NXT stars in this Battle Royal, so that's why I don't think we should incorporate NXT. So LA Knight is there. LA Knight wants in. And then Sheamus shows up. And then we get some back and forth. And Sheamus had me laughing, man. Sheamus tried to do the, yeah! And he sounded so fucking funny, man. He sounded funny. He almost sounds like me as a white guy trying to rap like Public Enemy or NWA. You know, it's me. But so what ends up happening is next week, here's the test, everybody. LA Knight, you almost feel like he's got to get the win on Sheamus. And you know what? Sheamus loses nothing if he loses this match. Sheamus is a future Hall of Famer. Sheamus, even though he doesn't have a championship title right now, Sheamus is set. He is a made man. I mean, the crowd has accepted Sheamus. And listen, you know, before COVID, you know, there was some appreciation for Sheamus, but, you know, never felt as, you know, like he was there. Like, he had pushes and he had some great feuds. But when COVID hit and he started really shining and, you know, he feuded with Drew, he feuded with Jeff Hardy, he feuded with some others, and he legitimately was putting on banger after banger after banger, and then he had his shit with Gunther, and he's a made guy. He's a made guy. He's in a good place right now. So Sheamus, if he loses next week, loses nothing. But that's going to be a banger of a match next week. So now we have the Battle Royal at SummerSlam. But something that really was under the radar yesterday that I think is a big deal. Austin Theory is not defending the United States Championship at SummerSlam. You know, we all thought leading up to that last week, LA Knight was going to take on Austin Theory at SummerSlam and beat him for that championship. That has changed. The winner of Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar will take on Austin Theory in 2 weeks, a week after SummerSlam on SmackDown. So Now it changes the perspective big time. Because honestly, with all due respect, and, you know, we remember what Santos Escobar did in Lucha Underground. That guy at one point was the top guy. He could fucking go. At one point, not too long ago, we were baffled why he was still in NXT. And yes, Legado del Fantasma, you know, remember when he lost with Tony D'Angelo, he's got to leave NXT, and he showed up in his SUV. He's like, you think I was going to leave alone? And he opened the door, and Legado left with him, you know, and that was it. So they all went to the main roster. But, you know, I think right now I don't see Santos Escobar beating Austin Theory. Rey Mysterio, I also didn't see him beating Austin Theory either. So now let's talk about last night. Let's talk about with Rey. Let's talk about the injury. I have two video clips for you. And I have two slow-mos. And I'm going to show you the two clips. You decide what happened with Rey. I will show it to you. And when you look at one of them, I was under the impression he got a shoulder injury. I honestly thought he got a shoulder injury. But then we find out that, no, he was knocked for a loop. That the lights were on, but nobody was home for a little while. So what happened was we had the opening match. Nice handshake to begin. Now, if you follow me and my shows going back to when Santos was still in NXT, one of the matches that Santos had on his bucket list that he really, really wanted to have, and Rey also, reciprocal, was against Rey Mysterio. Remember the night that Dominic and Rey showed up in NXT? They were this thinking at that time of having Rey take on Santos in NXT. They did not do it. They waited till the main roster, and it happened yesterday. So we get a excellent match. Crowd was into it. You could feel that the two guys in the ring, this was special. Sometimes that comes through in a match, that you could tell everything that they were doing was a little bit extra special. I got a kick out of Michael Cole early on saying that Austin Theory's in the rafters with all of his friends. And there was nobody there with him except for a bucket of popcorn. Plus, there was like a couple of buckets of popcorn above him. I don't know what that was all about. But Austin Theory is hanging out watching the match. And we go to commercial. Okay, we go to commercial. Right now, the match is very even. Now, we come back from commercial. And a trainer is tending to Rey. Now, I'm looking at the trainer's right hand, and he has it on Ray's shoulder. And before we went to commercial break, I didn't think much of it. But when I saw him holding Rey like that, I thought, oh, okay, I think I know where he got injured. So now I'm going to show you two spots that happened right before commercial. I'm going to show it to you in regular speed, and I'm going to show it to you in slow motion. And you be the judge, and then we will discuss what actually happened. So, first off, Santos was outside the ring. Santos was outside the ring, and Rey, and I laughed when I saw this, because it's like, you know when you, like, You throw up a shot in a basketball game and you hit the rim. Like, you come close, but you don't get the bucket. And then you shoot a fucking air ball. Or you just swing and a miss. And maybe the ball's in the zone, but then sometimes you swing for a pitch that's way off the plate. I watched Rey, and he dove to the outside to land like a little splash onto Santos Escobar. Look at how far Rey missed, but more importantly, Watch his shoulder. I'll show it to you in full speed first, and then we'll slow it down. This is what it looked like in full speed. Watch Ray. Oh, you just fucking, that's epic fail. That is an epic fail. I mean, not even close. And the funny thing is, before Ray did the move, you saw Santos on the ground, and Santos was right by the apron. And I'm like, how is he going to reach him? If anything, maybe Santos gets up and he dives and pushes him back. So now we do the slow-mo. All right, hold on. We got to do the... Here's the slow-mo. All right? Now watch Ray's shoulder as he lands. Watch his shoulder. Boom! I thought that's where he got injured. I played it slow, and I thought, okay, that's where he got injured. So now we come after that move. So now Ray is laid out on the outside. So now it's Santos's turn to dive outside the ring. Now I'm going to show it to you in regular speed, and then I'm going to show it to you in slow-mo. Watch Santos connect into Ray. You probably won't see it on regular speed. You probably think, oh, not much, but watch Santos. Watch Santos. Okay. Hold on. There he goes. He dives. Boom. Not that big of a deal. Okay. Now we'll slow it down. Watch Santos. Oh, wait. Here it is. Okay. Here you go. Here is Santos slowing it down. Watch Santos's head. Watch Santos's head when he connects with Ray. Watch his head. Right into the corner of the shoulder. If you go back, let me see if I could rewind it. Watch his shoulder. Okay, I'm going to show it to you. Watch Santos's head and watch Ray's shoulder. Like his head goes right and he lands, Ray. So now I'm thinking, okay, I personally thought it was the first spot because Ray looked like he landed shoulder first. He dove out of the ring. Not only no water in the pool, nobody on the block, but we find out that when Ray fell backwards, he banged his head against the floor and the lights were on and nobody was home. So that's what happened with Ray. Ray was knocked out. The trainer immediately went to ringside and was asking Ray a series of questions. And I don't know what the answers were, but the trainer did not like what he saw. Rey Mysterio could not continue. And Santos got very, very teary-eyed. You know, this is not how they wanted the match to end. Ray, after a few moments, you know, seemed like he got his, you know, his bearings back. And they hugged. And they both shared an emotional moment. And it's not the way they wanted the match to end. Now, the crowd, obviously, was pretty light with this. Even after when Ray got up and hugged Santos and there was a lot of emotion, the crowd didn't know how to take it. The crowd didn't know if this was legit or if it was storyline. And honestly, between me and you guys, if that would have been storyline, you would have had the net ripping the shit out of that finish, saying, like, why can't you just have a clean finish? Why did you have to do that? But it was a legit injury. Now, Santos was supposed to win, just so you know. It was supposed to be, and that's why Santos defeated Austin Theory last week. Santos already shows that he can defeat Austin Theory. Now he gets the title shot. Unfortunately, I don't think the outcome is going to be what some people think it's going to be, but in 2 weeks, Austin Theory will be defending the United States Championship against Santos Escobar. So there you go. All right. Oh, yeah, no. Josh, Santos is definitely the future. I don't know if he'll, you know, like I saw some people writing the last couple of days that Santos Escobar is the heir apparent to what Ray is right now. That's assumption. That's, I guess, maybe that's hope. There's nothing to insinuate that. Plus, you know, Rey Mysterio is one of a kind, man. He's one of a kind. So I don't think anybody picks up that throne. So, but Santos is definitely special talent. No question. Santos Escobar is top shelf. Can't criticize him at all. Plus, he's very, 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 very classy. Good guy outside the ring. Does not get involved with any controversial stuff. Clean. I mean, if you want an ideal guy for your company, that's one you would want. So, Santos, and Santos has so much pride for what he does. That's the thing that you notice, especially when we talk about controversy in wrestling. You could feel the wrestlers that do have a pride at what they do. And for some, it's like summer camp, you know. And then, trust me, when we get into the Britt Baker Taya stuff, I have quite a few things to say about that. You know, some of it is defending both of them, and some of it is a little bit of criticism, you know. But did you catch the little tweak yesterday with Roman Reigns? My friend's live in the chat. Did anybody pick up on something with Roman Reigns yesterday? Something early on? Did you notice a little tweak about Roman Reigns? I know, yep, Michael says it. Michael got it, Michael Gonzalez and a few others. I noticed it right away. If you're tuning into audio and you don't know where we're going with this, Roman Reigns came out yesterday. Hold on. He came out yesterday. Look, Paul Heyman is holding the flowers. I forget what it's called. That flower display is actually a legit Sola something. And it is a legitimate Samoan, you know, necklace. If you Google it, you'll see places selling it everywhere. It's beautiful. But Paul Heyman is holding that. Solo Sikoa, you know, if you look at Solo Sikoa, for some reason, again, he's looking at the floor. Look at Solo. We've noticed that. How many weeks in a row have I said it? If you ever look at Solo, for some reason, he's got an infatuation with the floor. Maybe he's just counting the number of boxes that are in the tiles on the floor. He looks at Roman Reigns, and he's staring, and he's like, what, he's slow? Seriously. I mean, every time Solo Sikoa, he's got to look at the floor. Ooh, a nice carpet. So he Solo's looking at the floor. Paul Heyman is like this, and Roman Reigns is wearing a title around his waist. There's a little bit of a better picture. You know, Roman is acknowledging the crowd. Paul Heyman is holding the necklace. Solo is looking at the dust. You know, wow, these tiles need caulking. But notice, Roman Reigns only has one championship with him. Paul Heyman is not holding the other two titles. My friends, go back and rewind SmackDown, watch the beginning. Tell me if I'm lying when I say what I'm about to say. Michael Cole pointed out that Roman Reigns has been the Universal Champion for 1,062 days. Michael Cole only mentioned the Universal Championship. Wade Barrett, immediately following, only mentioned the Universal Championship. After Roman Reigns and Jey Uso had their confrontation in the ring, after everything was said and done, that is when Michael Cole said that Roman Reigns will be defending the Undisputed Championship. Undisputed Championship. Now, we have the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. They condensed it down into a singular. And if you think that I'm making it up, go back and watch it. Now, I want to be a little bit clear here. Later on, when Jey Uso came out for his main event match against Grayson Waller, they did show Solo, Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns in a back locker room, and Roman is watching the match. This time, Solo Sikoa is looking at the tiles on the wall. Wow, what nice wallpaper. No, he's looking at the match. Look at the background. Look at the background. You got the two championships on the left and the Universal Championship on the right. So they did show all three championships later on. But, again, Roman Reigns starting to come out with only one title. That could be a temporary thing, but something you definitely want to take notice of, because they're trying to eliminate a little bit of confusion because of Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Roman Reigns, Universal Champion. Totally different title than Seth Rollins. Yes, Roman Reigns' other championship, different than Seth Rollins. But they don't want the perception of three world championships floating around. Especially when Cody finishes the story. When Cody finishes the story, they're going to most likely present Cody with a brand new championship. I know what some of you are going to say, already another title? Yeah, they're going to have to. Because right now, this is a little bit confusing for some. And again, bringing out a singular title, and listen to Michael Cole, listen to Wade Barrett. You will hear it. They focused primarily only on the Universal title reign. Why? Because of what we said a long time ago, and what a lot of you said as well. Because that's the title that's over 1,000 days. Roman Reigns was wearing the jacket yesterday with the 1,000 on it. They want to push that Universal title more than anything else because that's the one that's over 1,000 days. Roman Reigns is about to make more history with that championship. Roman Reigns is going to pass other people in his lineage. And if he gets a championship reign again in the future, you start combining the days as far as reigns, and he will surpass even more. So they are focusing on the Universal title for multiple reasons. One, to eliminate a little bit more confusion since Seth has the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and also because the 1,000-plus day is the reign that they focus on. It's the most impressive. You know, having another title that's, you know, 300-400 days is also pretty fucking awesome, 500 days. But they want to focus on the 1,000. And right now we're at 1,063 as of today. So without getting into every little detail of SmackDown, you know, Jey Uso comes out first and Jey Uso welcomes everyone to Main Event. Uso is in your city. Roman Reigns' music immediately hits, interrupts Jey Uso, and Roman Reigns tells him, you know, I opened the show, not you. And, you know, they're basically discussing the tribal combat. And Roman Reigns, you know, he's upset that Jey still wants to go through with this. And Jey Uso says, you broke the family. You broke this family. Now I have to do what I have to do. You broke the family. You broke the bloodline, which I thought was the family. You broke Jimmy, and it's all your fault. And Roman, you know, is telling Jey Uso, shut your mouth. And then Roman, you know, plants some seeds. You know, it's a great point that Roman Reigns said in this storyline. The minute Jimmy Uso gets hurt, Jey wants a title shot. The only reason why Jey was Roman's right-hand man a couple of years ago is because Jimmy got hurt. I think there was more to DUI at the time, but still. He says that your twin brother loves Roman Reigns more than he loves his own brother. And he says that after he beats Jey Uso at SummerSlam, he's done. Jey Uso is erased from the bloodline. And then Roman joking around a little bit. Hypothetically, if you were to beat me at SummerSlam, not only will I no longer be the tribal chief, and you may be the champion, but I will still be Roman Reigns. What will you be? And Jay believes that he could beat Roman Reigns. And that's what pisses off Roman Reigns more than anything else. How could you think you could beat me? And Jay says, because I already have. I already have. And if you looked at the graphic later on, it says the only person to pin the tribal chief. You know, as if we're like two different persons here. Like, that Roman Reigns prior to COVID was dead. No. You know, the Baron Corbin, no, he never pinned. He pinned Roman Reigns. He didn't pin the tribal chief. So, you know, Jay says, I pinned you before. I'm going to do it again. And the crowd is eating it up. But at the end of the night, I can't help it, my friends, but I'm thinking to myself, what happened to tribal combat? What happened to forehead touching forehead? What happened to respect? What happened to the elders? It wasn't a tribal combat like they were just beating the fuck out of each other. What happened to the respect? What happened to, you know, that tribal shit's out the door, man. It's out the door. So we go to break, and then later on we see Jey Uso in the back. These things are awesome. You ever buy a Yeti? The Yeti. WCW. The Yeti. It's like keeps coffee extremely hot. This thing is piping hot. I made this coffee about 2 hours ago. We see Jey Uso in the back. He bumps into Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller has an idea for Jey Uso that, you know, after your match at SummerSlam, you know, in case you win, even though I know you're going to lose, how's it about you get the little Grayson Waller rub and you come on the Grayson Waller effect? And he could see it now, the Grayson Waller effect with Little J. Little J. Sounds like a rapper from Chicago. Little J. And they're laughing it up, and Jay just slaps him. Just slaps him. So it leads to a match later on in the night, as I said earlier. And in the main event, Jey Uso beats Grayson Waller. And the reason why I'm mentioning this now, is because when we get into the SummerSlam lineup, it's probably one or two matches less than we thought we were getting. Because SummerSlam is probably going to be 4 hours, not even including the pre-show. We may get a five-hour event. But I think, especially Austin Theory, not getting his match at SummerSlam, I think something very well is going to happen. And I know some of you have thought about it. We've talked about it before. And if you watch closely during the Grayson Waller Jey Uso match, teasing it a little bit more, And what that is I think The Rock. I think The Rock is going to confront Grayson Waller at SummerSlam. We're right now with the Writers Guild strike. There's not much going on in Hollywood. In fact, I just heard that The Rock may have donated $1 million towards, you know, it's going to be divvied up amongst the writers. That is really, really generous. But I personally wished that maybe The Rock would have gotten a whole bunch of other actors that are millionaires and billionaires and say, hey, look, let's all let's all match. It's almost like that ice bucket challenge. Remember everybody who's like diving into ice buckets like morons? Would have been interesting if they did it during the COVID era, but, diving into ice buckets, he should have did something like, look, I'm donating $1 million. Who's next? Who's going to step up next? Oh, Robert De Niro, you're going to step up? Cool. Hey, how you doing? Hey, here's $1 million. Who's going to step up next? You know, and you go down the line. Tom Hanks, Lisa Skanks, you know, whoever it is. Then you present like $50 million to all the writers. The Rock doing it by himself, to me, was like a class action lawsuit. You ever get something in the mail? Like, we got this class action lawsuit against American Express. If you want to be part of it, sign here, and then you get a check for 32 cents. Like, how many writers do you think there are? There's a lot of writers. Donate $1 million. Look, I could go buy dinner. And then it's gone. So, still generous. But I think The Rock is going to be at SummerSlam. Grayson Waller imitating The Rock during his match with Jey Uso. And Grayson Waller has mocked The Rock before. This is all by design. The only question we have right now is, how are they going to do this at SummerSlam if The Rock shows up? I think it's unannounced. I think it's like John Cena at Money in the Bank. I think it's going to be similar to John Cena. I mean, obviously, The Rock is not going to come out there and pitch WrestleMania in a different state or something like that, but I think Grayson Waller is going to come out there and just trash the crowd and, you know, just... And then The Rock's music is going to hit. And I think that's going to work. Thank you, Gino, for the compliment. I appreciate it. You know, a lot of people, you know, so I did this yesterday. I was just thinking of Tribal Combat. And for some reason, the Atari theme, because that was a video game that we played back in like 1977, you know, I just added the graphics. I added RR for Roman Reigns and JU for Jey Uso. And, yeah, just put a little 8-bit. And that's my version of Tribal Combat. So it's not easy to come up with thumbnails sometimes, especially when you don't do clickbait. Oh, trust me, if we did clickbait, it would be easy. So fucking easy to pull people in. I could have Photoshopped Vince McMahon on life support right now. Vince McMahon hospitalized, and Vince would have been like, we'll get into Vince in a few moments. So Jey Uso beats Grayson Waller, but towards the end of the match, Jey Uso starts imitating Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns comes out during the match with Solo and Paul Heyman, and towards the latter part of the match, Jey Uso locks eyes with Roman Reigns. And he fucking nails a spear. And it was impressive. He nails a spear, climbs the top rope, gets the frog splash, and wins. Well, the Uso splash, and gets the win. But then, tribal respect. Remember last week was all about respect. Maybe not respect towards Solo and Jay, and vice versa. Because remember, last week it was all respect. But Solo was like, nah, fuck that. I'm not in Tribal Combat. And he went to hit Jay. And then he was going to spike Jay, and Roman Reigns stopped him. And they left the ring. So this time around, we get rinse and repeat. As soon as the match is over, Solo Sikoa tries to attack Jay again. This time, Roman doesn't stop Solo. What happened to Tribal Combat? Is this phase two of Tribal Combat? Amnesia? Respect out the window? So what happens yesterday is Solo hits the ring, tries to attack Jey Uso, and Jey Uso nails him with a super kick. Roman Reigns is like, fuck that, man. Roman Reigns takes the title off his waist, and he runs in the ring. And I'm saying to myself, okay, this is, I guess, the respect factor out the window. And Roman tries to go for Jay, and Jay fucking nails him with a spear. And the crowd is going nuts. And Jay is getting the upper hand on Roman Reigns. But ultimately, you know how it's got to go off the air. Solo Sikoa gets the upper hand. Jey Uso continuing a trend that we don't like about WWE, that all of the baby faces' friends in the back are sissies, pussies, wimps. They never come out and make the save. Cody Rhodes could get destroyed from Brock. Cody Rhodes could get destroyed from Hornswoggle. And nobody comes out to ever make a save. You ever noticed that? We've talked about that so many times before. You know, maybe an Uso helps an Uso. Matt Riddle might be the only one. Matt Riddle might be the only, and he always gets laid out on his ass, let's be honest. Matt Riddle makes the save, and then, you know, whenever we post a screenshot of Matt Riddle makes the save, he's always laid on the mat like this. That's how it's booked. By the way, can I give you a little announcement? I think you might actually find this cool. Remember last week we did a little super chat drive to help Shotzi Blackheart's sister with a little bit of her expenses related to her liver cancer. And by the way, if anybody wants to donate, the link is still good. They have hit, I think, like 25,000 so far, which is awesome. It is tinyurl.com/helpshotzisis. I made that tiny URL so it's easy to remember. But next week, we're going to do something cool. I'm doing it anyway because I have become friends with this person. But I thought some of you out there would probably have some fun being a part of it as well. And I will tell you this. Anybody that does take part in this, we are going to buy a card. Every single person's name will be in this card. The funny thing is people still haven't reported about Matt Riddle and Misha Montana, what's going on, because they don't know what the truth is. And because they got to get the credit and can't just say, oh, you know, the Don Tony Show confirmed that blah, 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 blah. They don't even DM her. That's the funny thing about it. Because I asked her, I was like, any of these places that aren't sure, did they DM you and ask you? And she's like, no, nobody's contacted me. So I'm telling you here right now, Misha Montana and Matt Riddle are having a kid. We don't know if it's going to be a baby bro or a girl, but they're going to give birth in December. And we kind of had a funny joke about it. What was in the air in March? Think about that. You think if, around that time, you think of Alexa Bliss, you think of others. There's multiple people pregnant right now. Carmella and others. Like, what was in the air earlier this year? I mean, did the rumors of Endeavor and WWE merging together and we just didn't know publicly and everybody was just like, holy shit, MMA, merger, Endeavor, WWE, let's have a kid. So I have the baby shower registry for Matt Riddle and Misha Montana. So we're going to give them a gift for the birth of their child. So what I think I'm going to do Monday is maybe we'll go on the registry and you could help me like pick out, like, what do we send them? Do we buy them just like diapers and shit like that? Or do we get something else? So we'll do that next week. And anybody that contributes, whether it's $2 or $20, whatever it is, I'm going to put it all together, buy a couple of things, and we'll get a big card made up and we'll send it to them. So pretty cool, pretty cool. But yes, they are having a kid. So I suggested if it's a baby bro, you name him Anthony. But I don't think Anthony will be the choice. All right. A couple other things that happened on SmackDown yesterday. Once again, Bayley getting a little bit creeped out. Now we have a piece of paper. And it's like one of those psychos. I'm sure a lot of you remember the psycho that used to cut the letters out of the magazines and put a whole bunch of eyes. You know, it'd be interesting if we get a little twist and maybe it's Kane. Maybe it's Kane. Remember See No Evil? Kane with green hair would have been funny. But no, Bayley, basically, I got my eye on you and I will see you soon. And there's a little much more hair. Sooner or later, she's going to run out of hair. Seriously. I know that didn't sound right. Yeah. So anyway, they bump into Asuka, and Asuka is very confident that she's going to wrestle the best at SummerSlam. And as of right now, I think Asuka's retaining. Some people are fearing Charlotte Flair is taking this title. I don't think so. I think Charlotte and Bianca are going to end up having a pretty substantial feud leading into possibly Survivor Series. Yesterday, Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair, I know people don't like this. I'm with you. They beat the women's tag team champions, Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. I would have liked, who's the name of the SmackDown announcer? Who's the name of, I can't remember his name. You know, the guy that does SmackDown. I would have popped if he would have went, Chelsea Green. Who's the guy? Someone in the chat will know who he is. I always forget his name. He's got a forgetful name. But they beat the women's tag champs yesterday. Mike Rome. Thank you, Austin. Mike Rome. So I don't like the women's tag team champs being pinned like that. I get it. They're getting pinned against Bayley and Charlotte Flair, two of the top talents in the last 10, 20 years. So you don't lose nothing from it. But still, that just shows you how weak the women's tag team division is. You mean to tell me you can't have you want to know something? I'm glad I remembered. You know who I think would be an awesome tag team? Seriously? As long as this woman turns heel and can actually put it together a little bit, I think Dana Brooke and Lacey Evans as a tag team would be tremendous. I think the blonde bombshells, I think they would piss off the IWC so much that they would get over as major heels. Dana Brooke needs a tag team partner. And not somebody who is as mid as she is. You know, and it's no disrespect. Listen, I get it. She's there 8 years. She's a good person. Everybody likes her. But she's still, her timing is off, man. You know, it's like playing a video game. Oh, you know, you make one small move wrong, or your timing is off. That's it. You're dead. You're dead in a video game. The game combat. The bullet's coming at you. Like, oh, it took me extra second to get in the ring. That's it. Game over. And her problem is her timing is awful. That would be covered up with a tag team partner, but it's got to be a tag team partner that's a little bit better than her. I think Dana Brooke and Lacey Evans would be a decent tag team. And you know what? I could have seen Lacey Evans and someone coming out to confront them yesterday, and they should have gotten the loss. Not Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green, but that's what happened. And the match yesterday, the easiest way I could explain it, Bianca's got offense. Charlotte tags herself in anyway, and Bianca's pissed off. Later on, Bianca tags herself in while Charlotte's kicking ass. Towards the end, Bianca's about to hit the KOD. Charlotte tags herself in. They win the match and then they're angry. The fuck is wrong with you? We won the match, you asshole. You know, like, they were just fighting to add additional friction to the SummerSlam match. But, I don't know. Yeah, Vince, Dana Brooke's going to go heel. She is going heel. She's going to turn on her protege. And, yeah, I did Dana. Listen, I talked about Dana Brooke and her Singapore cane match with Cora Jade on Wednesday Night Dynamite. If you didn't check out Wednesday Night Dynamite yet, check it out. Excellent, excellent show. Especially when we talked about Carmelo Hayes. He's about to be tricked. And that is a play on words. Trick Williams is going to turn on Carmelo Hayes. It's got to happen. I don't want it to happen. But Carmelo Hayes, him be stuck in the mud more than anybody wants to admit. You look at that NXT roster up and down, you say to yourself, what's the next hot feud for Carmelo Hayes in NXT? And people be like, they can't come up with someone. They'll just pick a random talented name and say, oh, Dijak. Van. Yeah, that's a hot feud. I'm a fan of both guys. They ain't hot feud, man. Especially when you start going to promo exchange back and forth. Dana Brooke has got to turn on Kalani Jordan. She will. But I think that would be an awesome trolling tag team. Seriously. But so we had that match yesterday. Karrion Kross squashing Karl Anderson like a grape. Let me tell you something. I know this is going to sound ridiculous. I know we have a little bias for Karrion Kross because he's a fan, friend of the family. I shouldn't say fan. I know he said fan, but I don't deserve that. Neither does Kev. Well, maybe Kev. He's a friend of the family. But I thought yesterday Karrion Kross was clicked better than I've seen him click in the ring and to the crowd and everything that they went down. Even Scarlett. Scarlett getting extra animated, distracted Carl Anderson. Carl Anderson was getting a lot of offense, and this match was only 3 minutes long. But Kross made the best of his three minutes. And I like the hair. I like the hair. I like the added beard. You go back and you remember the bald head with the helmet. Far, far cry than before. He's adding a little bit more muscle. So, and he beat down Carl Anderson afterwards. AJ Styles made the save. I will admit, AJ Styles was looking at him like, can you just let it go? Did you see when AJ Styles like made the save and he was looking at Karrion Kross? He had this concerned look on his face like I know what it's supposed to be like. Fuck is wrong with you? Why did you didn't have to do that? But I interpreted like, come on, man, move on. I got better things to do. What do you keep bothering my people for? But Kross looked to me. That's, I know that sounds ridiculous. I think it was his best showing this year, yesterday. From the beginning of the match to what they did in the ring to the end of the match, post-match, and the stare down afterwards, everything that they did, I think, clicked. So give him more time. Give him more time. Definitely, listen, he's got the tools. He's got the ability. He's great on the mic. Just got to let it happen. We can't rush it. Can't rush it. Yes, this is taking longer. Absolutely, it's taking longer. But right now, I thought yesterday was excellent. And I'm not even saying that in any biased way. So that pretty much was our episode of SmackDown yesterday. So next week we have Sheamus and LA Knight. And then the week after we have Santos trying to take the United States Championship off of Austin Theory. And then SummerSlam. Now let's briefly talk about SummerSlam. Then we'll get into a couple other things. Here is your current SummerSlam lineup. And I'm going to use my fingers just so people could keep count and say, yeah, we're one or two matches less than we should. We got Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Jey Uso in Tribal Combat. It's no DQ. Anything goes. We'll see if there's any special garb. We'll see if the elders are there. We'll see if there's special weapons. We'll see if there's rituals. Asuka defends the WWE Women's Championship against Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair in a three-way. Seth Rollins defends the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. Gunther defends the Intercontinental Championship against Drew McIntyre. Brock Lesnar takes on Cody Rhodes. Ronda Rousey takes on Shayna Baszler. We'll get back to that match in a second. Logan Paul takes on Ricochet. And we have the Battle Royal, sponsored by Slim Jim. Step into Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. And I hope that Battle Royal is not a pre-show. That may be a pre-show. I hope not. I don't think it will be because Slim Jim is paying a lot of money. Slim Jim is paying a lot of money to be the sponsor for that Battle Royal. I don't think they want to be in a pre-show for that, but anything is possible. And listen, when they do the Battle Royal, everybody's going to be in the ring already. Everybody's going to be in the ring already. So that Battle Royal is probably only going to last 10 minutes. You know, we think Battle Royal, we think 30 minutes, 40 minutes. No, I think that'll probably be like a 10-minute match. And you know what happens. We get that flurry where like 10 people get eliminated in 2 seconds. You know, that's what it's going to end up being. But I think we all agree. LA Knight should win it. will likely win it. And whether it's 10 minutes or not, I think people will be happy with it. So be cool if everybody's in the ring and an LA Knight comes out by himself on the microphone and cuts his promo. But that is your lineup. As of right now, Rhea Ripley has no match. People are claiming that Kevin Owens has been working with a fractured rib. And we talked about it last week that it felt like on Raw that they were writing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn off of SummerSlam. Not expecting a match from them. They're going to give Kevin Owens some time to rest. Also, Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley destroys Liv Morgan. Now, Raquel Rodriguez, if you listen closely to Liv Morgan's promo last week, Raquel Rodriguez is hurting. So there's no long-term injury, so maybe that match still goes down. In my honest opinion, maybe it's not needed. Maybe it's not needed. But as of right now, we have 8 matches. Now, I think one thing we should talk about is Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. They made the match official 2 days ago, but it's, as of right now, a regular match. What happened to the fight? This is more than a match. This is a fight. Yeah, punch somebody in the face, you get disqualified in 2 seconds. So I'm wondering if they're holding off the stipulation until Raw to add it then. See, we will see. Another team that doesn't have a SmackDown, or excuse me, a SummerSlam match, is the Street Profits. Now, trust me, if you thought that I was not going to talk about this, you're crazy. But I'm going to probably have to share with you on Monday. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? I have a video. I put it together, but I decided, you know, not to post it because I think I'm going to get hit with copyrights left and right because there's no way to edit it down. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Bobby Lashley with the Street Profits outside. They were next to a limo. I don't know if I have a screenshot that I could show you from 2 weeks ago. Let me see if I do. I might. I'm getting close. All right, we see him with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, so it should be coming up here. Maybe, maybe not. Let's see. Okay, all right. Like I said, I was going to play a video, but I don't want to get hit with copyrights. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Bobby Lashley making his return, and I said that Bobby looking dapper, in some ways looking smaller than Montez Ford. And then I took note of it, Angelo Dawkins wearing a sweatshirt, a hoodie. And I said 2 weeks ago on the show, I said, I wonder if that is going to lead into something soon, the way Angelo Dawkins dresses. And if you think I'm making it up, go to the Don Tony show from 2 weeks ago. I think it was around the 48-minute mark. Just go watch back what I said. I thought that the way he dressed was going to become part of a storyline. Well, yesterday, they're sitting around some room. And long story short, Bobby Lashley tells the Street Profits that you should be treated like champions, like stars. You are stars. You should dress like stars. And Bobby Lashley is looking at Angelo Dawkins. Montez flips the glasses down, and Angelo Dawkins is like, "You looking at me?" And Montez slaps him in the ass, joking around, and Bobby Lashley brings in all of these suits for Angelo Dawkins on the house, courtesy of Bobby Lashley. And, Angelo Dawkins is getting a change in look. You know, and they're teasing that they may turn heel. So I don't know if this is going to lead into anything with SummerSlam. They're probably going to be in the Battle Royal. They should. But, yeah, we had a feeling that they were going to turn that into a storyline about Angelo Dawkins' look. And, yeah, he's going to start putting on a suit. He's going to get dapper, which is going to be, I think he's going to look great. But he's going to look out of place because you kind of feel like Angelo Dawkins is like really casual guy, you know, and he's probably going to look a little out of place. Okay, moving on. Let's talk briefly about some match results from yesterday and a little injury note on AEW side. Brian Cage and Big Bill won a tag team battle royale, beating Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal, Matt Menard and Angelo Parker, the Hardy, Satnam Singh and Jay Lethal, the Butcher and the Blade, Brothers A and Ethan Page, and the Chaos Project, which means that Brian Cage and Big Bill will get a future tag team title shot. The Kingdom beat Hayden Backlund, I don't believe any relation to Bob, and Mayung J. Lee. Okay. Hikaru Shida over Nyla Rose. Commander over Kip Sabian. Now, originally I was supposed to be Scorpio Sky and Kip Sabian. Scorpio Sky, he's got some bad luck. He's got some bad luck. Got injured again. I don't have the details. All I know is that he took a huge fall. Don't want to say that he blew out his knee or you know, but he hurt his leg pretty serious. One person told me that they heard that he slipped on something. Someone else told me that he just took a step the wrong way and just took a dive. But Scorpio Sky, once again, on the shelf. So I just figured I'd share that with you in case you wanted to know. A little bit of AEW news as well. Take note of it. They filed for a trademark called AEW Plus. And when you look at that closely, you know, it's not like bigger shirts for fat people like me. It's not plus sizes. AEW Plus has to do with streaming pro wrestling entertainment video on the internet. Take note of that. Is AEW going to reveal their own streaming deal? I think that is possible. AEW Plus. You want to watch additional content? You want to watch stuff from yesteryear? AEW Plus. Don't know how much it'll be a month. I'm speculating, but I think that might be a streaming deal online. Similar to maybe what they're doing with Ring of Honor and Honor Club. That AEW Plus. AEW Plus for AEW is what Honor Club is for Ring of Honor. So something that you should take note of. So now for Monday's Raw, the preview that we have right now is Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes will have their final face-to-face leading into SummerSlam. We also have on Raw, Logan Paul will be back and he will have a confrontation with Ricochet once again. And as of right now, they are scheduled to open SummerSlam or the second match. From what I hear, they are granting Logan Paul his request that he could leave a little bit earlier so he could walk his brother down the aisle. His brother's fighting Nate Diaz. But as of right now, it's either the first or the second match. Don't forget, on Monday, we also have Valhalla taking on Maxine Dupree in her debut match. And guys, I'm a fan of all four guys, man. But this is like beyond rinse and repeat. It's so much rinse and repeat. I feel like we got holes in our clothes now. The main event on Raw will be Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn taking on Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest. I don't mind the feuding, but every fucking week it's Sami Zayn or it's Seth or it's Kevin Owens. It's always a Judgment Day on the upside. And I don't think the Judgment Day are overused. I know that that's a fun little conversation for people to have online, which is ridiculous when you actually add up the amount of time that they're on TV. It's ridiculous. It sounds powerful until you actually add the amount of time they're on TV. They're not on TV as much as you think, but it just makes you feel like it's Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, The Judgment Day, and everybody else. Gunther. You know, Gunther's in his own world right now. It's Gunther's world. But, you know, maybe Gunther should be incorporated in this a little bit more. You know, we know that Vinci, you got to ask yourself this. When Giovanni Vinci goes out there now, whether it's on Raw or it's at a house show, or even at SummerSlam, how does that feel inside that I think he pretty much knows that his days with Imperium are numbered and he's about to be kicked out? How does that feel? You know what I mean? Like, how does that feel to be standing out there and in the back of your mind, you're like, man, I'm fucked. Man, fuck. Like, what motherfucker is going to replace me? You know, like, that's got to kind of get under your skin. That's got to bother you. You can't just sit there and like, oh, what a wonderful world. And just an opportunity. That's all I wanted. No, I'd be pissed off, man. If I was Vinci, I'd be kind of ticked off right now. Let's talk a moment about Vince McMahon. And the reason why I'm showing you mustacheless Vince is because somebody said to me that Vince only had like the landing strip. Is that what they call it down there? Like he just had like a little light fuzz on his face last week that he might have shaved the mustache off recently and had a little bit of a shadow. So we don't know if it's coming back or maybe he just didn't shave it because he was in the hospital. Vince McMahon underwent spinal surgery last week. I don't have all the details, but I will tell you that I actually found out a little bit more than what TMZ reported. I asked a few people, you know, because I have my dad. If you remember a couple of years ago, his situation with his spine. Vince's surgery is similar to what happened to my dad, but it's from years of wear and tear. Vince McMahon has, I don't want to say crushed vertebrae, but Vince McMahon had a serious problem with his vertebrae that was digging into nerves, and it was not only causing tremendous pain, but it was also causing him a lot of issues mobility-wise. And listen, when you get in your 70s, we've talked about it so many times, even in your 60s and 50s, you take a hard fall. You know, that has ended people in the past. I mean, we don't need to go there, but how many times have I said in the 26 years doing this that you got to be careful when you get old, you take a fall. I've seen people break their hip and next thing you know, they're gone. You think about what happened to Scott Hall and others. So Vince was having mobility issues. He was having a lot of pain. And the vertebrae, you have to address it. Now, they took care of his spine, put screws in it, apparently a plate. One surgery that they were considering for Vince McMahon, this is where it hits home for me and my family, is there is a surgery where they could put literally cement within the area of the crushed vertebrae. They literally, it's not cement like you walk on, but it's pretty much cement. And they literally fill the cracked vertebrae, the crushed vertebrae, they put cement to like keep it locked in place, because crushed vertebrae, every time you turn, you walk, you bend, you know, it just gets worse and worse. The reason why they did not do that is because that kind of surgery on your vertebrae, putting that kind of cement, I don't know what the exact term is, there is a high risk that you'll never walk again. That is one of the serious conditions that the surgery is so serious that it could result in paralysis, that you would never be able to walk again. So he elected for the surgery where they pretty much, they cleaned it out. They definitely put some pins and screws in there, and they basically repaired part of his vertebrae. And that was years of wear and tear. Didn't have a fall. See, what happened to my dad was working on a roof and fell off the roof. I mean, the roof was not that high, but he fell off a roof. And when he landed, there was a rock on in front of the house, like one of these rocks that's surrounded by plants. And his back landed right on the rock, and it crushed part of his vertebrae. With Vince, it was wear and tear. So his surgery was deemed a success. He can't lift anything heavy for, you know, a short period of time, but this is really what this was to improve Vince McMahon's quality of life, which I know some of you out there could be like, motherfucker, fuck him and his quality of life. I get it. But that's what happened to Vince. So I figured I'd share it with you. Definitely worth checking out if you're interested. Booker T was a guest on Chris Van Vliet's podcast. They were talking a lot about NXT. They were talking about him commentating on WWE's main roster, and he says that he didn't like it as much because they had to be politically correct, and it was always someone in his ear. He loves doing a commentary for NXT. He's relaxed. He has a lot of fun. And he says between that and the podcast, he's having a good time right now. I think probably the one item that will be noteworthy with Booker T more than anything else is Chris asked him his Mount Rushmore of pro wrestlers. And the four that came to mind for him, I think he didn't think about this long and hard, but the four names that came to mind for Booker T was Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Ricky Steamboat, and Roddy Piper. And he did point out that Ricky Steamboat, because he is the greatest babyface of all time, that could be debated, but I can't really argue with him there, and Roddy Piper could do it all. So go check it out. It's a really good interview. It's a fun interview. You don't lose any brain cells from it, and it's easy listening. Chris does a good job. Remember when we used to call him Filet-O-Fish? And I used to always talk about his teeth. What was it like in NXT? What did you think about this? Do you like this? What do you think of her food? Are you like a wizard? You're kind of, what's your favorite wrestler? Who's your wrestler? He's shown that he's the man. So, all right. Since we were talking about NXT, for those that are interested, NXT is going to have No Mercy. That is going to take place Saturday, September 30th, in Bakersfield, California, at the Mechanics Bank Arena. So if you live on the West Coast and you're near Bakersfield, you might want to mark it down. NXT No Mercy, September 30th. Tickets go on sale Friday, August 4th, next week. So if you want to check it out, they got a pre-sale registry. I think the pre-sale starts Wednesday. This is why I'm mentioning it now, besides Wednesday Night Dynamite, because the pre-sale starts this Wednesday. If I wait till Wednesday to talk about it, I might get somebody to be like, DT, that's fucked up. The pre-sale's already done. Why didn't you tell me sooner? So if you want to be part of the pre-sale this Wednesday, go to WWE.com/NXT No Mercy-pre-sale. Or just go in the search box. All right. Let's start bringing this home. I'm looking at my notes. I'm checking it twice. Oh, shit. This is not going to be nice. All right. Let's talk about Britt Baker, Taya Valkyrie, internet trolls, karma, big AEW problem. Okay. I don't like to rip people for having a bad match. Everybody has a bad day. Sometimes things don't click. You know, even when I use the video game analogy, you could be so good in a particular video game, and then once in a while, you know, you don't last 5 minutes. Like, the fuck is going on? I ace this game all the time. You know, sometimes you just don't have it. On Wednesday, Taya Valkyrie and Britt Baker did not have it. It doesn't help when you got people in the front row that are like, or they're like, you know. And then after the match is over, you get a sign like this on TV, on the camera: book the women's division better. Book the women's division better. Ring of Honor. Remember the days of Ring of Honor up until recent years? What is something that I've always talked about for years and years and years? Ring of Honor never really focused on a women's division. They'd have some women's wrestling, absolutely. But Ring of Honor, with women, it was never a big priority. Whether people like it or not, for a lot of wrestling companies out there, I don't care how commercialized WWE is, I don't care how many times they rinse and repeat, WWE right now has the top tier of women's wrestling, period. Over the years, Impact Wrestling was very impressive as well. At the end of the day, though, for promotions like Ring of Honor, MLW, I'm talking about over the years, Ring of Honor, MLW, and other various indies that you want to bring up, women's wrestling is not as big of a draw. It's not the ratings grab that a lot of people think. That's just the facts over the years. It's not a nice thing to say. It's not politically correct to say. Everybody that is loud feels, oh, women should have just as much airtime as men. I said this years ago. WWE would never, at the time, have an all-women's wrestling show. Pay-per-view, yes. Evolution, one-time pay-per-view, yes. NWA, women's pay-per-view, one-time, yes. But reality is that the numbers are nowhere near as strong. That's why WWE never did a women's weekly series, TV show. Because when you break down the numbers, when you crunch the numbers, women's wrestling, notoriously, has been nowhere near the ratings grab for most places. If women's wrestling was such a draw in the indies, you don't think Ring of Honor would have had more matches of women? You don't think MLW would add more matches with women? And I'm only mentioning those names is because they're the most famous indie promotions. You look at a lot of promotions, even NWA. Why didn't they do a second women's pay-per-view? Well, we don't think we have strong enough names, this and that. What the fuck? If people watch women's wrestling and they watch women's wrestling, they were making excuses because they knew that buys and expense-wise, it didn't draw. They're not going to waste the money. You could make promises, oh, well, maybe next year, or maybe this, and it never happens. WWE was not, years ago, going to take the chance of put a women's show, whether it's USA Network or anywhere else, and then it gets garbage ratings, and then what? It makes the women's division look like this. That would be such a blow to the ego, the mindset to women's wrestling in WWE. And holy shit, we can't even get 300,000 viewers. We can't get 500,000 viewers. We can't get 1 million at that time. Remember, the ratings were much bigger back then because we didn't have as many streaming platforms that we do now. You know, so think back to the ratings back then. WWE was not going to take that chance. Believe me, if they drew that big, you do it to make money. You know, you don't do it because you just love wrestling like Tony Khan. So here's the deal. Over the last 4 years, we have had AEW. Tony Khan was a rabid ECW fan, a rabid Ring of Honor fan, a rabid New Japan fan. And what do all three have in common? Really not have much women's wrestling. It's not their cup of tea. But, you know, because we got to attract women, because it's the right thing to do, because we don't want to be labeled as sexist, we don't want to be labeled as misogynist or whatever it is, we got to feature some. And now, 4 years later, you get one women's match on Dynamite. You might get a women's match on Rampage. Oh, wow, we got a women's match on Collision, and it got an extra 5 minutes. Here's the problem. You could add a second match on TV by just saying, put a second women's match on TV. You know what the problem is? It's not here, and it's not here when it comes to Tony Khan. Sure, Saraya, Tony Storm, Jamie Hayter, it took a long time before they bought in with her. You know, Jade Cargill, freak of nature, and I say that with love. Nyla Rose, you know, we know, you know, her background, inspirational. But at the end of the day, AEW since day one has basically told the world, we're a men's wrestling promotion that does feature some women. And the thing is that, you know, you think, oh, you know, we'll throw Sky Blue out there for a few weeks, and she's a good girl, and I don't have any issues with her. There's nothing wrong with her. She has a bright future. You see her make the save against the Outcasts, and she hits the ring, and she's struggling to get in the ring with the chair. And in storyline, if I'm Tony Storm, Ruby Soho, and it's Saraya, I'm like, look at this. Come on, right here. You can, one shot, you can hit me right here with the chair. Look, I'm closing my eye. Like, she's not intimidating. You see... on Saturday's Collision, Taya Valkyrie beats La Nonema. Oh, Britt Baker, I want a match. Oh, look, oh, match we always wanted. Ah, it's on Dynamite. Ah, they're pushing the women. Then you get this. You get things like this. Let's see it in slow motion. Who's at fault here, everyone? Who's at fault? If you look at it closely, I think Britt Baker, this is what I think happened. I'm not in the ring. This is what I think happened. I think when Taya Valkyrie dropped her hands, I think Britt Baker got the sense that Taya Valkyrie was going down. Because remember, before I show it to you in slow motion, pro wrestling is an art form. And it's about timing. More than anything, it's about timing. That's why I've always been critical about Dana Brooke. I'm critical about Sky Blue. I'm critical about women wrestlers that have to run the ropes twice and kind of like wind up before they throw the pitch. You ever see that? Like, they'll be standing in a ring. I'm going to beat you up. And then they decide, let me run to the other side of the ring to get momentum before I hit my move. And it's about timing. So when you look at this move, when Britt goes down, Taya has to go down at the same time. So it looks like Taya Valkyrie face plants Britt Baker on the mat. So when Taya's hands slip down a little, Britt Baker thinks, oh, Taya's letting me go and got a drop. Britt drops. Taya's not ready to drop yet. And this is what happens. Watch the timing. Watch the hands. Watch what happens. Oh, yeah, now I got to go down. And Taya's like, I don't know who to blame there. I don't know who to blame there. Shit happens. shit happens. But the problem is, here's the problem. Taya Valkyrie, let's talk about her first. After this match was over, she woke up the next day, and there was so much hate online. Because remember, Taya Valkyrie is an outsider. She's not a homegrown AEW star. Britt Baker is homegrown, so you get this rabid fan. And listen, Britt Baker got a lot of hate too. Let's just focus on Taya Valkyrie first. Britt Baker is homegrown. Britt Baker is AEW through and through. So those that want to blame it on Taya Valkyrie, okay, how do we hurt Taya Valkyrie's feelings? This is an extreme example, but I'm going to prove a point, and I don't mind saying it. I have the balls to say it. Back in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, even the 2000s, and some people still do it today, which is awful. You get into an incident with a Jersey Shore guy that's at a club trying to pick up all the women, wearing the tank top, all jacked up on steroids. Hey, how you doing? Hey, you want to go ride? And then you get into a verbal altercation with that guy. How are you going to hurt that guy's feelings the most? Are you going to make fun of his physique? He's got you blown away. Sorry. Are you going to tell him that he can't get laid? Guy gets laid every day. You're going to make fun of his physique? You can't. So what do? You call him the F word. Because how dare you question my sexuality? Because if all the women think that he's that, well, they're going to leave, go for a real man. That's the mentality of an idiot who would say that. I used to do it in the 80s. Absolutely. Early 90s, go to a club, got some asshole trying to pick up your friend's girlfriend, and he thinks he's all masculine, thinks he's macho. You hurt their manhood. Doesn't make it better, but that's why people do it. You get into a road rage incident. You're a white guy. You see a black guy. You're a black guy, you see a white guy. And what happens? You use the N-word. You use the word that rhymes with whacker. You know, it begins with a letter C. Why? Even if you have no hate towards blacks or whites, you know that by saying that, you're going to maximize that person's anger. I want to piss that motherfucker off. What can I say that'll anger that person the most? Oh, I get it. He's black. Let me call him the N-word. He's white. Let me call him the C-word. He's Spanish. Let me call him the S-word. Doesn't make you racist. Makes you an asshole. Racist is hate in your heart. You're doing it because you're trying to insult that person the worst you can. And that technically does make you a racist. Because if you think insulting someone's sexuality and race is the best way to hurt somebody, you're a racist. You're this. So what does this have to do with Taya Valkyrie? Taya Valkyrie is a tremendous wrestler. I'm not a big fan of hers. She's a tremendous wrestler. If you never saw her wrestle outside of NXT, Impact, or WWE, go look at her stuff in Mexico. Go look at her stuff overseas. You watch her matches, you'd be like, phew. She is tremendous. So how do the rabid AEW fans, how do they maximize insulting Taya Valkyrie for what happened with Britt Baker in the ring? Well, you do this. You call her fat. You call her disgusting. You say that she looks like a man. You say she's untalented. You call her a loser. You say that she's slow, lazy. And she says, I'm a human being trying to be my best. Remember that the next time, and hopefully you'll never have to hear that kind of stuff about yourself. You know what the problem is with that, my friends? is you will get a bunch of responses from people online. Oh, Taya, you're none of that. Oh, Taya, you know, we need to all be better. We need to stop the hate. Until the next one. You're not going to change social media. You're never going to change social media. It will always feature the low of the low. Because, unfortunately, people enjoy seeing other people miserable. People that are jealous or don't have it all that much, they like seeing other people hurting. And those who are successful get a kick out of people who fail. You think back, check this out. Check this out. In the 1920s, there's a video online. If you go on YouTube, you'll see the video. And I recommend you check it out because it's such an interesting video. They colorized it. They added color to the video. You know what the video is in the 1920s? A bunch of rich women in front of one of their houses, and there's a whole bunch of poor kids in front of the house. White, black, Spanish, little kids. And they're tossing pennies. Tossing pennies. Like they're tossing breadcrumbs to pigeons. You got to see the video. I saw it a couple of months ago, blew my mind. Rich women wearing Victorian stuff from the 1920s, and they're tossing pennies. And you see all these little kids with no shoes on, no shirts, ragged clothes, and they're scrambling all. And the funny thing is, they're not fighting with each other to try to get this money. You know, in this day and age, get the fuck out of the way. And you grab all the money. Or you try to rob the kid next to you. Oh, you got 20 cents? Let me see. And you punch him in the face. You take his pennies. You run away. All these kids were trying to, and the women were having a great time. They thought they were doing something good. But in actuality, they're laughing afterwards. Do you see how that little kid literally jumped over a cliff for a fucking penny? You know, people enjoy seeing people do misery. So this is what Taya Valkyrie gets. It's never going to change. It gets worse because, and you know what? The worst culprits are the ones who are so outspoken about it. I brought it up with Matt Hardy and Jim Cornette. Matt Hardy didn't realize that by setting the traps up, that his own followers were going to go for the cheese. So the toxic cult of Cornette, which Matt Hardy addressed, the people that showed their other despise and hate towards Jim Cornette were Matt Hardy supporters, and they were 10 times worse than the cult of Cornette, as Matt Hardy would say. It's toxic. And this is what Taya Valkyrie was greeted with. It will never change. Now, on Britt Baker's side, it gets more complicated. It gets more complicated. Because you think of that little reality series that AEW did. And listen, at the end of the day, this is a big AEW problem. But you remember the reality series that AEW did recently. And it did not put Britt Baker in a positive light in a lot of ways. You think about the Thunder Rosa stuff. You think about other stuff. So Britt Baker, because she is Adam Cole's fiance, because she has worked hard for 4 years, she's worked hard. Working hard doesn't equal success. And what I mean by that is you could have somebody who is in a batting cage 8 hours a day for 5 years and still bats 200. You could be Dana Brooke wrestling 8 years on a WWE roster and still needs two or three extra seconds to execute a move. That it doesn't get instinct. When you think about people like MJF and RJ City and CM Punk and Seth Rollins and this person who could cut promos and just immediately on the fly bring up The Rock, Steve Austin, LA Knight, and just immediately on the fly, like come up with a response a retort. This is not when you're in the ring and you're doing reversals and flips and 360s and, you know, offense, defense, reverse, offense. You know, it is an art form to have that kind of instant reaction. I joked the other day. I put on Twitter, and I knew it wasn't going to get much views because it's politically incorrect to show. 9 years ago, we were watching an episode of TNA Impact, and I was on, I don't remember what the name of the chat room was. It might have been 123 Flash Chat. We were in a chat room during TNA Impact, and at that time, I was doing a lot of corny raps on my shows. Remember when we used to make fun of David Otunga? They say it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave. WWE, you're not fit to be this shit, so stay at home and make my grits. You used to make raps. During Impact, somebody said, why don't you do a rap about TNA? And I said, all right. So I'm watching TNA. I'm watching Bram. And by the end of the 90 minutes that it took me, I did a whole three-minute satire of the song Don't Worry, Be Crappy. Don't Worry, Be Happy. And I called it Do Worry, Be Happy. You know, and it talked about, you know, Dixie claimed TNA would expand. She should get her head slapped with my hand. Do worry, you're crappy. And I did a whole song in 3 minutes, just coming up with stuff quickly, like, you know, your roster's depleted, your viewers are leaving. After watching Bram, you left me heaving. Do worry, you're crappy. I had people sending me DMs this week. Why do you have to sound like an Indian? Like, that's how ridiculous things are today. But unfortunately, timing, no matter how hard you work, timing doesn't get there. And that is Britt Baker's biggest problem. But there's something deeper than that. Britt Baker has an attitude about herself. And I don't know her personally. I've heard good things about her. I don't know every little detail about what happened with her at Thunder Rosa and others. There are others. But they'll never voice out because they're so low on the AEW food chain that that's all they got. That's all they got. But she's bullied. She has been pretty nasty. She thinks her shit don't stink. And I'm not criticizing right now. I'm just telling, saying, like, over the last couple of years, this is the perception a lot of people have. And because she's Adam Cole's fiance, that everybody shows a little extra respect her way because, you know, Adam Cole. I've said it many times on my shows. Adam Cole deserves so much praise for how much Britt Baker has improved over the years. Unfortunately, though, you know, you could train a horse. You could train a horse for 10 years and it never wins a race. You know, just sometimes, no matter how much work you put in, you don't put it all together. And we have seen this with Britt Baker more times than not. Whether it's against somebody like Sky Blue, where Britt should be the one leading the match, to someone like Taya Valkyrie, who should be the one leading the match, and it turns into a disaster. Now everybody is focusing, oh, Britt Baker wants to have the first AEW women's ladder match. You go to ladder matches, you go to hardcore matches, you go to weapons matches, because that covers up the video you just saw with Taya Valkyrie. Because you can't do the basics consistently smooth. So now, those who are not hardcore AEW, who know Taya Valkyrie's history and how good she wrestles, those that don't like AEW, they're going after Britt Baker now. And Britt Baker is getting hammered on social media right now for this remark. Somebody wrote, and again, this is after this sign post was seen on Dynamite Wednesday, book the women's division better. Somebody wrote on Twitter, and I think this is a fair opinion. Nothing nasty about it, really. This is what this person says. Develop a performance center for wrestlers like Britt Baker so they can improve their craft. She was horrible last night. And she wants to face Charlotte Flair one day? Please. Yeah, that's some pretty hard criticism. But that match was not good Wednesday. I gave the match result Wednesday. I did not get deep into it because, you know, wrestlers do have off days. And listen, I've always said Britt Baker has a lot to improve still. So even if she has a decent match, you know, that's pretty much the norm. I understand what she can do, what she can't do, but Wednesday was pretty brutal. So Britt Baker responds back. Now, remember what I just said that this person said about the Performance Center. Britt Baker responds back and says, and I quote, "Sorry, sis, I couldn't hear you over those DMD chants, but bullying looks just about as good on you as those heinous yellow dress." So she's now calling other people bullies. And she's getting killed right now. I want to make this clear. This is not Britt Baker's fault. This is not Sky Blue's fault. This is not Taya Valkyrie's fault. This is not a lot of the women on that roster's fault. The fault is that you could have a nightmare factory. You could have a wrestling school. The thing is that no one there. You have Madison Rayne as a trainer, Serena Deeb as a trainer, and you don't see much of an improvement at all. And honestly, that starts from the top. That starts from the top. When you see the progression of people like Tiffany Stratton, I'll give you one. I'll give you the progression of one woman right now that when you take a step back and think about it, you're like, yeah, I can't argue that. Ivy Nile. Even Lola Vice, they had no wrestling background. Remember, Britt Baker a couple of years ago said that they should not take models and women's and put and models and athletes that are non-wrestlers and put them all in a school with wrestlers. And she made a comment like that. And you're seeing what happens with hard work, and not only that, dedication and that pride. And to me, Tony Khan, telling it like I see it, Tony Khan and AEW never, ever looked at the women's division seriously. You get a match. You get their favorites. You get the controversial names from Japan like Maki Ito and others. You get, you know, a little bit. You look at how Shida's been used the last couple of years. You know, you see at the end of the day, if they took the women's division more serious, we wouldn't have just one match on a Dynamite. We wouldn't have all this cover up with spray painting people on, on their clothes and all this, you know, they don't take it seriously. And for a lot of people in AEW, it's summer camp. It's Disney World. It's a resort. Let me just get the basics down. And as long as I'm employed and as long as I'm getting a check and as long as I'm featured once in a while, I'm content. You see what you see on TV a lot with the women's wrestling, especially, and that is simply because AEW does not value women's wrestling anywhere near the men's side. I'm not even saying 50-50. It's more like 80-20. But again, think back to Ring of Honor up until a few years ago. Think back, and listen, putting Willow Nightingale versus Athena to close out Ring of Honor, I know that that was warm, and I'm happy for both women. Willow's from my neck of the woods. I root for her more than you could imagine, and Athena is awesome. But they also scored 300,000 on Rampage. They also had the lowest quarter on a recent either Collision or Dynamite. Their ratings consistently are pathetic. So you do this for a feel-good moment, to make a statement. So now we could say the women closed out a pay-per-view. It's not just what's listed on paper. It's the mindset. It's what's in here and here. People aren't stupid. You could put three matches on a women's show that only 50 people attend, but when 5,000 people attend, you only put one. That shows you the value. Think of Ring of Honor up to recent years. Think back to ECW. And out of fairness for ECW, women's wrestling across the board was not extremely taken seriously. Medusa as Alondra Blaze and Bertha Faye, you know, that's really pretty much what we got on women's wrestling in the mid-90s. We didn't have this big crop of women's wrestling. That's why it really wasn't featured all that much. Or you have Sherry as a manager, you know, or she would hit a move and that's it. But the mindset of AEW, let's not, you know, pull any punches here. They don't give much of a flying fuck about women's wrestling. 4 years, everyone. This is not 1996. That 4 years, wow, look at Trish and Molly Holly and Lita and Jacqueline and this and that and that. Of course we had talented women in the 90s, but there would be three in an indie promotion, not 30. So what you see on TV, I don't blame it on the women all that much because let me put it this way, if AEW took the women's division seriously, that would put so much fucking pressure on the women that they better deliver. Plus, when he won't fire anybody, unless they fuck up personally and professionally, when you don't fire someone, you don't release someone because they're not performing and you just let everybody ride out their contract. Well, let me just get signed. Let me just get signed. Worst case scenario, I got 2 years of money. Let me just get by and get a fucking Rampage match, so be it. I don't care. I'm getting paid for the next 2 years. And then once I'm done, I'll go on the indies. I'll take this shit more seriously. Right now, it's a vacation. For a lot of people in AEW, it's a fucking vacation. When there's added pressure, if I don't step up, I lose my job. That's what they do in NXT and WWE. That's why Ivy Nile, Lola Vice, Tiffany Stratton, Cora Jade. You could just go down the list. Valentina Feroz, Yulisa Leon. And there's a lot of others that I'm leaving out. It's not that NXT is so much better with the trains. Serena Deeb is awesome. She knows how to train. So does Madison Rayne and others. It's just that overall, the overall scope, AEW doesn't take it seriously. That's why you get what you get on TV. Once people sign there, if they're not taking it seriously, what's the incentive? What's the incentive? You see Jade Cargill, you know, what's the incentive? She's got money. She's got a family. She's married to Brandon Phillips, formerly of the Reds. You know, she's, you know, and, you know, what's going on with her? Yeah, she's content. There's no real strong drive that I want to come back and be the greatest woman in women's wrestling. No. It's a hobby. It's summer camp. It's a vacation. It's a resort. They're on a cruise ship right now. And as long as that mindset remains, and honestly, it's not going to change. The only way it changes is pressure. Because deep down inside, Tony Khan, it's about 80 to 90% about the men and this much about the women. You throw a main event here once in a while, you're making a statement. But when it doesn't happen the following week, do you remember that WWE Raw had like 7 weeks in a row of women's main events? Do you think they were doing it just to make a statement? No, they rode with it and whatever happened, happened. What makes you think that Tony Khan is going to suddenly have this? This is his viewpoint for decades. This is his view for 20 years. It's just that most people online will not address this issue. They'll say, oh, build a better school. Take trainers, put more trainers there. Give them more house shows. No, the mindset is AEW and Ring of Honor is 90% men, 80% men, 20% women. They got their place, but that's it. So what I saw on Wednesday doesn't surprise me all that much. By the way, Collision for later tonight, there's your trinket match. Kiera Hogan versus Mercedes Martinez. Listen, before I show you that, Chris Statlander, What did I say on Wednesday? Chris Statlander's championship reign is turning into Jade Cargill's reign. She wrestles random woman. Somebody may come down to the ring, scope her out, call her out, leads to a match on a following week, wins the match, and then interview segment with Orange Cassidy, recorded promo, and then the following week, Chris Statlander in action, faces Lisa Nobody, wins that match, someone else comes down to the ring, gives her a dirty look, bumps into her in the back, you haven't faced me, and it leads to a match. Does anybody actually think that Kiera Hogan versus Mercedes Martinez is going to lead to anything? That this is not, it's just a match being put on a show. Mercedes Martinez will do just fine. Kiera Hogan, you know, she's listen, her work in Impact was great. I'm sure those two women will do a decent job. But just because it's on the show doesn't mean, oh, AEW is giving more time for the women. No, they're not. No, they're not. So anyway, tonight on Collision, it's fucking Gravity returns. Joe takes on Gravity. To me, that I got to look up this guy's history. To me, that's like equivalent of what Suicide was for TNA. It's like a play on words. Oh, Pac takes on Gravity. Ha, 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 ha. Gravity, get it? Ha, ha. He beat Gravity. Ha, ha, ha. It was the lowest rating of this past week. Yeah, Gravity. Pac versus Gravity. The rating that the match that the fans forgot. Remember, Neville? You know, the man that Gravity forgot? Wednesday, Pac versus Gravity, the match that fans forgot. We'll talk about the ratings on Monday. But Joe will take on Gravity. We got the men's tag team title match. Be on the lookout, MJF turning on Adam Cole. I don't think it'll be tonight, but it'll happen soon. Buddy Matthews versus Andrade, which will be an awesome match. But a mask is going to be on the line, a mask that Andrade just doesn't wear during the match, by the way. CM Punk will talk, and we get a six-man. El Hijo del Vikingo, Darius Martin, in action Andretti versus the Guns and Juice Robinson. So that's what's scheduled for Collision tonight. So, my friends, little programming notes. Tomorrow night, there will be no sit-down episode. I put up a poll in a community section on YouTube. How did you want me to handle Sunday night? And the majority of the vote said, DT, do an NXT recap and review of the Great American Bash. So that is what will be going down on Sunday night. So check it out. Tomorrow I will be live online right after the Great American Bash. Make sure you join me. Yeah, Gravity is an... I heard he's a legit guy. I'm going to do some history on Gravity. I'll give you a little background on Gravity on Wednesday. I'll see if I can find any really good matches outside. Who knows? Maybe he didn't have the name outside. I would think that this is a new name because I don't recall ever hearing like AAA results from Tijuana. Gravity took on El Puerto Riquenos number three. Also Tuesday, Kevin and I will return. SummerSlam preview and predictions. That will air live on Patreon Tuesday night, and it'll be posted for everyone online after the live stream is over. So, and then obviously Monday we have our Raw recap, which we do. So everyone, if you enjoyed the show, give it a thumbs up. Tell a friend. Let them know about the channel. DonTony.com, download the audio shows. That is the lifeline. If that starts to deteriorate, you know, everything deteriorates. That is the lifeline. About 90% of you still access the shows audio only. Not everybody needs to see my ugly face every week. Plus, it's easier. You know, you're walking, you're driving, you're at night, you're sleeping, you got your eyes closed, you're cleaning. You know, you don't need to see video. You might cause an accident if you see the video. So you listen. So still, about 90% of my audience is audio only. Plus, it feels good to be ranked in the top 5, top 10, top 50, number 1 in certain countries. So, and that's all audio. None of the video stuff gets factored in that. Just remember that. So download the audio shows, you know, because that definitely helps. It keeps us you know, visible online. So much love, everybody. I am out of here, and I hope to catch you all again maybe tomorrow after NXT if you're online. So where is my outro? Where is my outro? Here is my outro. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.